last night I learned about, I hope it had a happy outcome, a child that was on a road maybe over toward Newark, and there were multiple cars trying to rescue this child from getting hurt. I hope it had a good ending. I never heard the end of the story. I meant to look it up, and I didn't. But what I want you to picture today is a child on a busy road, and multiple people, multiple opportunities for that child to be rescued. And maybe for whatever reason, the child, I hope they get rescued. I don't know. It's just kind of like that story. I don't know the ending of it. But as we see God working here with the two witnesses that he has provided during the first half of the tribulation period, it's a period that's 1,260 days long, also known as 42 months, also known as a time, times, and half a time. So it's kind of confusing. Like, what are we talking about? We're talking about the tribulation period that starts, this is a seven-year period that starts at the beginning, or at the moment there's a peace treaty signed with Israel. A peace treaty signed with Israel. Now, I found it interesting. Yesterday, I saw in the news that President Zelensky of the country, and I wanted to say Bulgaria, help me, Ukraine. Hello, thank you. Is suggested to Putin that they meet in Jerusalem and have Israel mediate between them. How fascinating. They want to have peace talks in Jerusalem. Now, I don't see specific prophecy with those types of things, but what I can tell you is that as we look at the world today, for the first time in 2,600 years since Ezekiel wrote Ezekiel chapter 38, and since Daniel wrote chapter 11, we see things in place for the battle of Gog and Magog. But we're not really here to talk about that specifically, although I did talk about that quite a bit last night with Pastor Muserino. You guys know him, you love him. He's coming as my backup speaker for the Wild Game Dinner, by the way. He's going to be here and helping out with that event. Yankee Arnold is the speaker I hope can come for the Wild Game Dinner. He's really good at sharing the gospel. If you don't follow Yankee Arnold on YouTube, you owe it to yourself to watch some of his videos. Nobody presents the gospel more clearly than Yankee Arnold. And he's a great person for you to learn from as together we want to be effective in sharing the gospel with the lost. Okay. Let me share this with you, and I remind you of this every week. When you're studying the Word of God, if the plain sense makes sense, don't take any other sense. Okay? So the reason we can understand the book of Revelation is because we let God speak for himself. Presidents typically have a spokesperson that comes out and is a press secretary for the president, and they speak on the record for the president. But God doesn't have that. He has his word, and his word speaks for him. This is the written word. I don't want to take somebody else's word for what it says. I want to hear it directly from God himself. And so the beauty is, with the word of God, we can see exactly what he has to say when we look at it. So let's pick up our study, Revelation chapter 11, starting in verse 1. And we studied verses 1 and 2 a couple weeks ago, and verse 1 says, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein." So this is going to be happening, measuring the temple, literally the Temple Mount, where we just were in Israel. And just like with our property, which we haven't bought yet, but the 12 acres on 36, we haven't closed on it yet, but because we're about to close on it, we got a survey, right? By the way, the surveyor, Alan Doniker, I'll just mention his name, so grateful. He knew how badly we needed to get this done quickly. He allowed us to cut a year of line and gave us half price. If you need a surveyor, get Alan Doniker. What a great guy. But we surveyed the land because we have a special interest in it, because we're about to take possession of it. So what this is indicating is that God is about to take possession of the Temple Mount. In other words, the temple, he owns everything, but the Jews will be able to put a temple on the Temple Mount. When you start measuring, it signifies that ownership either has happened or is about to happen. "But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles in the holy city," this is Jerusalem, So he's saying, don't measure. So remember I showed you the tabernacle model and the outer court. It says, don't measure that. What could that mean? It could mean either that the Dome of the Rock is going to stay in place and they're going to build the Jewish temple right beside it, like we talked about. I'm just recapping what we talked about before. Or that literally it's just the temple itself, or they could remove the Dome of the Rock and put the temple there. But in any case, it's just a small area that is needed. And literally, the area that is needed for a temple on the Temple Mount is literally 15 by 45. 15 feet by 45 feet is enough space. It's a big, flat, it was a hill, Mount Moriah, but Herod built it way up and made it this big, flat area. So there's a small space that's needed for the temple, and it says there's going to be a Jewish temple there, I believe, either by the time the rapture happens or certainly by the midpoint of the tribulation, there's going to be a Jewish temple on the Temple Mount. All right. And that really matters. The Jewish people want a temple very, very badly. They have everything ready to go with building it. They have all the altar of incense and the laver and everything is totally ready to go. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot. This is the Gentiles. That means anybody who's not a Jew. It's sort of like an Amish country. You're either Amish or English, right? So when you see Gentile and Jew, just think Amish English. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, right? Okay. Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So I kind of told you the passage often, different passages, Daniel, Revelation, use interchangeably 42 months, 1,260 days, because a Jewish year is 360 days, and 3.5 years is exactly 1,260 days, or a time times and half a time. So we're talking about half of the tribulation period. So what's going to happen is we see that I believe that's going to be the second half of the tribulation period. So verse 2 is referring to the second half of the tribulation period, which is called the Great Tribulation. Last 3.5 years after the Antichrist sets up an image of himself in this temple that's built and declares himself to be God. And the Jewish people are going to recognize, oh, whoa, we got tricked. This isn't the Messiah. This guy is fake. All right, verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. We're resuming our study now. That was recap. We're resuming our study. And I'll give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Okay, wow, what are we talking about here? This is the first half of the tribulation, I believe, that God is going to have these two witnesses that are here and willing and able to share the gospel with the world. And I'm stunned that God is so willing to give humans so many chances. I'm just frankly stunned. Let's review a little bit before we go too much further. I want to remind you that right now we are living between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel. Okay, the stopwatch stopped at the 69th week when the Jews rejected Jesus as their Messiah. So we came in, remember, the Eastern Gate, and they sang Hosanna to the King, right? Blessed is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. We celebrate this. And then 3 days later, he was dead. But 3 days after that, he rose again. But God said, okay, I'm going to pause Israel as my primary tool for reaching the world. Remember, I showed you all the maps last week. Israel is the land bridge between three continents. And they were supposed to use that, you know what they say in real estate? The three things that matter most are location, location, location. We're grateful for this building, and we're making the most of the location, but it's not the best location to reach the whole community. And so we're going to change the location by God's grace. But God specifically gave them the very best piece of real estate in all of the Middle East and the whole between all those continents so that they could positively impact them. Instead, they allowed the nations, the Gentiles around them, to negatively affect them and put out the little light of theirs that they were supposed to be shining. Amen? And so he handed that torch to the church because the Jews dropped the torch, the light of the glorious gospel and the truth of God. And so now it's our job to hold the light high. And so we have a strategic position in history as the local body, the Church of the Living God. We have a strategic location in history to be a light to the world. And so we're going to do it by God's grace. So here we are in the 69th, it stopped at the 69th week, Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 and 27. So the time during this stop is called the church age. It's called the church age. And that's where we are right now. We're in the church age. Now, what's going to end the church age? The rapture of the church. But what's going to begin the tribulation period It's not the rapture of the church, and I've had that on there. I said it was the rapture of the church, and as I've studied more, I've realized, well, actually, there's a little gap between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation period. And so the signing of the peace treaty with Israel after the rapture restarts the stopwatch, and then the tribulation is called the 70th week of Daniel. Daniel is the key to understanding the book of Revelation. And so you have to study them together. We're just studying the book of Revelation. But can I tell you, frankly, guys, I'm learning a lot as I go along. And as you saw with this slide, I changed it slightly because I learned more. I'm going to keep learning more. I don't have all the answers. If you came here hoping I had all the answers, I'm very sorry to disappoint you. I don't. But I know the one who does, and he wrote a book for us to study, and I keep learning more and learning more, and the more I learn, the more excited I get to do what he's called us to do. Very, very simply, he's called us to take the gospel to the world. And so it's our privilege to do that, and I want you to see, of course, that prophecy is history written in advance. And we have the privilege of knowing what's going to happen before it happens. And so we have this ongoing series called The Future. And every Sunday morning, 10:30, we're going to be studying the future. Now, it's not, again, our future. Why? Because we're not here. Where are we? Well, I drew a graphic to show you. Here's where we are. There's a cross on the left side of the screen. The church age, we're somewhere around the E of the word age, right? The rapture is going to happen at any moment. And everybody that believes that Christ died for their sins and rose again will be taken up in the rapture. And then we will be at the Bema seat of Christ. We'll receive rewards for how faithfully we lived and how much we were available to the Lord, which is why I strongly encourage you to double down on your availability to the Lord. Take the Lord seriously. Don't put your roots too deeply in this earth. These are just tents we're dwelling in. This is not a permanent dwelling place for us. We're here to accomplish a mission. So I would encourage you to let go of some of the things of this earth and fully embrace this word and the mission that it gives us, the privilege of taking the gospel to the world. Israel dropped their torch. Let's not drop ours. Let's be fully devoted to the mission of getting the light to the world. Why? Well, one reason why is because when you stand at the Bema seat of Christ, the words you want to hear are, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Every believer will be rewarded. Now, salvation is a free gift, but every believer will be rewarded according to how available they were to the Lord. You say, "Well, I'm available. I'm in church." Well, that's good. What are you doing with the other 167 hours of your week? And I'm not saying don't go to work. I'm saying go to work, be there on time with a good attitude. But your whole focus is, how can I reach somebody today with the gospel? You say, "Well, I'm bashful." Okay, then invite your coworkers to church. I'm saying don't be problem conscious, be power conscious. Think, how can I be used by God to make an eternal difference? I said it last week, we want to build a temporary building to reach eternal people, right? Every person is an eternal person. And that building is going to get burned. God's going to make a new heavens and a new earth, and everything's going to get burned by fire. He's going to start all over at the end of the millennium period. He's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. That building won't be here. But you know who will be? The people that you reached with the gospel. We want them to be with us in that eternal state, not separated from God forever. In eternal conscious torment in darkness and flames, right? You don't want that. I don't want that. Jesus died so nobody has to go through that. And so let's take our responsibility seriously. I believe we need to look at the world. It's kind of appropriate that the thing that I decided like 30 seconds before the church service started, I wanted it to be my main illustration. I had no idea what I was talking about. I didn't have no idea if the story was even true that I heard yesterday. As soon as church is over, I'm going to like Google it and find out what happened, if this really was a true thing, of a kid on the road about to get hit and multiple cars trying to stop this kid from getting hit. And I believe there was some other drama involved, I believe. But it's almost appropriate that I don't know how that story ended, whether the kid lived or not. Because I don't know how this story ends. Will the people of Chilai Crossroads be available to the Lord to rescue someone who is in great danger? The people around you, if they haven't trusted Christ, they are in grave danger of spending eternity apart from Christ. Are you willing to drop what is so important that you're doing, going to Starbucks and getting that $8, it's not a $5, it's not $5 anymore, it's like $8, right? Starbucks. You're going. It's really important you get that frozen frappe, or is it more important that you put your car in the path of an oncoming car and take the hit yourself so that the kid doesn't get hit on the road? The people around you are the kid, and you can live your life in such a way that you're willing to sacrifice something so they can live. And can I tell you, that's where joy is found. But I don't know how the original story that I heard ended. How appropriate. My main illustration, the preacher doesn't know what he's talking about, which is not that unusual. I don't know if that was a true story. I don't know if it happened. I do know this is a true story, and I don't know how it's going to end. Will you guys be willing to do what God's called you to do? Or will you say, well, it's really important. I have some Starbucks money on my app, and I got to redeem it. And I see that kid, and I see a truck coming, but I've really got to get to Starbucks. So I'm going to keep going. I don't know how your story ends, but here's what I do know. God intervenes in the tribulation period, and he sends these two witnesses to speak up and try to rescue the kids that are on the road that are about to get hit. And I'm in awe of the levels of God's mercy. First of all, he sends to this world of 7 billion people, you and me, gives us the opportunity to hear the gospel, gives us the ability to live in America in a place where we still sort of have some freedom left. You could hear the gospel, you could trust Christ, you could get connected with the Great Commission, and you could devote yourself to trying to save kids that are on the highway that are about to get flattened by trucks, the lost. You have the opportunity to do it. Hopefully you do a good job. But even you and me doing our very best, we won't reach all 7 billion people. So God in his mercy sends the 144,000 that we've already studied, plus the two witnesses. These guys are fascinating. And he does it to give the world another opportunity to trust Christ. How many layers of mercy does God have? I'm in awe. You're part of God's rescue team. I hope you and I do a really good job so there's not very many people for the 144,000 and the two witnesses to reach. Amen? The better job we do, the less people there are that need to trust Christ when they get here during the tribulation period. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Let's see if this works. I have no idea. We keep trying new stuff to see if it will work, and I'm going to see if we can draw some stuff. Okay, so I drew the picture for you earlier. All right, let's see if we can get black in here to draw with. And Pastor Todd, did you try drawing something with it? Okay, cool. It's actually not drawing. Can you come help me on the screen? Because I can't get it to draw anything. You see the screen, but it won't draw on it. Is this charged? I have a feeling that the pencil is not coupled. Did you let it charge? That's at 11%. Okay, maybe it'll work now. All right, let me let you play with that. Until it works. Okay. So sometimes you got to bite the bullet and get the technology working. Okay. Verse 4, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, okay, excellent. Can you make it a kind of a smaller pen, like a medium size? Perfect. What did you do? Did I have this pen size too small?
Something was weird about it. I changed to a different slide.
And okay. How do I clear the screen? Two taps?
You can always...
Always start over? Clear? Okay. All right. There's some way to hit undo, but we'll figure that out later. Okay. So this is an ongoing project that we will get back to you on. This undo right here. Thank you. Perfect. Okay, good. All right. So hopefully you can see this as I draw. Perfect. Okay. So here we are. The rapture of the church is the next event we expect to have happen. Somehow I cleared it all. Cool. Oh, awesome. How did we do that? Oh, it became white. Hold on. What happened? Pastor Todd, I need you again. I don't know what happened. All right, let's see. Oh boy, wow. Okay, it's time for you again. Okay, two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Verse 5, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Astounding. So, who are these guys? There's a lot of discussion about who they are. It's likely in my mind that it's Elijah and Enoch, but regardless of who it is, the reality is it working? Okay, I want a wider pen, a little bit wider. Oh, that'll work. All right.
If you press harder, it goes wider.
So I put my hand on it, and it cleared it. So stay here. Don't go very far. Okay. All right. So here we go. So here's the rapture of the church. Here's the second coming. And we know that what's going to happen, what starts the seven-year tribulation period is the signing of the peace treaty. So right here, at some point after the rapture, don't know how long that'll be. Could be days or weeks or months, don't know. But that's what's going to start the seven-year tribulation. At the midpoint of the tribulation, let me just color this, let me shade in this first half. Oh, see, now it started doing it again. It turned into white. Why did that happen?
Not sure. We hit the eraser somehow.
I did?
Somebody did.
You didn't touch it. I didn't touch it. Stay here. There's gremlins here, so stay here. It's your job to smack gremlins. Okay. All right. Okay, so this first half is where the two witnesses are. This second half is where the city, the holy city, will be trodden down of the Gentiles. The last half of the tribulation is called the Great Tribulation. And it'll be trodden down of the Gentiles during this last 3.5 years. So the first 3.5 years that we're talking about is right here. And so here they are sharing the good news of the gospel, but people are trying to hurt them. Can you imagine? So it is almost like there are people that are trying to keep somebody from rescuing the child that's running on the road. And it's literally they're for the people that are stopping, the motorists that are slamming on their brakes and running out of their car, it's almost like they're like trying to block that person from running to the kid. So there are people that are going to try to stop the two witnesses from doing their job. And I'm amazed by that. Now, these two witnesses are from Zechariah chapter 4. You might as well get a chair. I really don't want you going too far. So we're still in the interlude between the sixth and seventh trumpet, okay? Because that's where we are. There's been seven trumpets. But here's these two witnesses, and the Bible describes them as in verse 4, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, we have to go, let's go to that next slide, and I want you to see what that reference is. It's Zechariah chapter 4, and it says that these two witnesses are put there by God, and if you can't find that slide, then no problem. Okay, there we are. The two witnesses, these are the two olive trees and two candlesticks of Zechariah chapter 4. Now, we use the term candlesticks, and I recently spent about $100 because I love my wife. And I love me. She loves candles, but candles burn my nasal passages. And so it's been a conflict for 29 years of marriage. She wants a candle burning in the house, and it hurts my sinuses. So, and she's been very kind and not burned candles. She has all these candles that aren't burned, or she only burns them when I'm not there. So I decided I'm going to find beeswax candles because, A, I love the smell of beeswax, and that doesn't have, like, factory chemicals in it, so it doesn't hurt my nose. So I like candles burning in the house, too. I just want to breathe. So I paid $100, and I thought these candles would be bigger. I got 100 candles. I think maybe it's 100 candles. But they were, like, they're tiny. They're those little bitty ones that are for a wedding or something, and they burn for 2 hours, and they burn out. But I keep burning more candles. I got them in the closet hallway, and I reach up and grab another one, and then, you know, one night, and it's toast, you know? So I thought, because the King James, which I believe is the best English translation, uses the word candlestick, I thought it was a candlestick, but it's not the case. The word candlestick here, and even in the Old Testament, when talking about the tabernacle and the lampstand, lampstand is a better term, because a lampstand, these were made of gold in the tabernacle, and they had a wick that went down into a container of olive oil, and they would burn. So they burned not with energy of themselves, they burned with energy from elsewhere. And can I tell you, these two candlesticks, these two witnesses are burning with energy from elsewhere. So the artist's rendition of it is the two olive trees standing for peace, and you see the candlesticks above them. Those are not actually candlesticks, they're lampstands, and the reservoir that you and I draw from is the Holy Spirit of God. The reservoir that these two witnesses are drawing from is the Holy Spirit of God. You don't serve the Lord in your own power. In fact, it's impossible for you to please the Lord in your own strength. Amen. So my little candles that I'm so proud of and cost so crazy much money, I scoured the internet for a better deal, and there was none to be found. By the way, these ones don't smell like anything, which kind of bums me because I've bought ones that smelled like beeswax in the past. They're made of beeswax, but they're like no scented beeswax, which I'm kind of bummed. I love the smell of beeswax. I kept bees with my dad. Got stung a bunch of times, but that's another story. I look even bigger when I've had 30 stings. But I was getting cocky and I didn't put on all the equipment because I thought, oh, I can do this. Oh, fine. Yeah, I was fine till I had a bunch of bees crawling around inside my clothes. You run fast when you have a lot of bees crawling around inside your clothes because you're motivated to get those clothes off, but you can't do that outside. So, these two candlesticks are there to give light to the world, and there are people that are trying to snuff the light out. So God gives them the power to not die. They're impervious, they're unkillable until their work is done. The 144,000 have God's name in their forehead. They're sharing the good news of the gospel with the whole world. And so we see that these two olive trees standing before the Lord are doing their job, and it is God and His mercy coming to reach people with the good news, and they just actually, many people just don't care. Now, I'm blown away by humanity. We humans don't care that God would sacrifice so much to not only sacrifice His Son, the world doesn't pay attention. So He commissions us to go tell the world about the sacrifice of His Son. Most of us don't pay attention. And so the rapture of the church happens. Those who are saved go up in the rapture. And the rest of the world, now when I say the future, this series is called The Future, but where we are in chapter 11, we're approaching this midpoint of the tribulation period right here where the Antichrist declares himself to be God and things get really bad. Now, there's going to be a lot of suffering, famine, wars during this first half of the tribulation period. And so it's almost like a bell curve. There's going to be suffering in the first half, but the suffering in the second half is going to be exponentially worse. And so God is giving in the first half of the tribulation so much opportunity for people to trust Christ, so many more rescue efforts for the children playing on the expressway with the trucks coming through, and God is trying to rescue humanity, and humanity is looking at Him and saying, I think we're just going to kill your messengers. Unbelievable. So verse 5, and we'll read it again, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Verse 6, these have the power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Remember who did that? Remember what Elijah did? He told Ahab, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years until I say it's going to rain. It just so happens that one of these witnesses has the power, both of them have the power to stop it from raining for 3.5 years. I believe one of them is Elijah. I don't know who the other one is, but it could be Enoch. But it doesn't matter who they are. What matters is what their message is. And they're trying to share the gospel with the world because you can trust Christ during the tribulation period. It just means that when I say the series is titled The Future, I mean, from where we are right here, all of this is future. I mean, right? It's all somewhere here in the future. But we are going to be up here at the Bema Seat of Christ and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb during the tribulation period. So what happens down here on the earth during that time is not our future because we're up here. So the series is called The Future, but it's not our future. They're going to be going through all kinds of suffering down here. Okay, so I'm amazed at this. They are truly immortal until their job is done. Now, this is getting really messy, so Pastor Todd, let's see if we can start all over. How do we do that? Can you clear that whole screen? Because I used to be good at this, and now I can't figure out anything. So you do that, and then you hit clear over there. It's hidden. Okay, thank you. Okay, yeah, I'm so glad you're here. I think this has been the key in the past. I just need to have Pastor Todd nearby. This is good. Okay. We learn from the book of Job that Satan can't do anything without God's permission. Satan is wreaking havoc on the earth during the tribulation period. If you love your neighbor, share the gospel with them just so they don't have to go through the tribulation. But there's way worse than the tribulation, eternal separation from God in conscious torment and darkness and flames. You want them to avoid that. So do you want them to avoid the tribulation period? Oh, yes, you do. You want them to avoid this whole area. But beyond that, There's a lake of fire that was created for the devil and his angels, but humans go there when they refuse to trust that Christ died for their sins and rose again. God doesn't send anybody to hell. What time is it? See, I'm glad I have you nearby. Oh, wow, it's time to land the plane almost. Okay. That clock says it's 1:44. It's an atomic clock. I paid extra for them so that I never have to worry what time it was and have all the classes for Awana in total sync. So when it's time to let out or switch classes, boom, it happens. Because that has been a problem for years. I'm like, I can't handle it anymore. We're going to get the good clocks. And now, look at it. Look at it. Yeah. By the way, I went to see Betty Dunn last night because she wasn't answering her phone. Turns out the phone line is dead. And so I called AT&T service. And she said, yeah, it hasn't been working for a few days. I'm like, Betty, you haven't talked to anybody in a few days? Like, no. I'm like, what? It's bad for your health to not talk to people, and you need to talk to more people than just the preacher, because I come see her, but she needs to talk to more people. So I said, she said, what am I supposed to do? Go knock on the neighbor's door and say, hi, can I talk? I'm like, well, you could, or you could just come to church. There's a bunch of people that want to talk to you. Like, yeah, when the weather gets better, I'll do it. I'm like, well, okay, I hope you do, because the preacher's really handsome, and he's a good preacher. And without missing a beat, she said, oh, did we get a new preacher? Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. This is what I go through. So awesome. Look, the two witnesses are willing to offer their lives for the good of the world. And you and I have the same privilege. It's a privilege to offer our lives for the good of the world. Our lives should not be about us. Our lives should be about the mission. It should be about the Lord. And so to the extent that your life is about you, and you just want to get to Starbucks to get your $8 frappe, why don't you stop the car, ruin your transmission if you have to, if the brakes aren't working, jam it in park and blow up your transmission, but get out of the car and go rescue the kid. The kid is more important than your stupid transmission. The transmission can be replaced, the people can't. That kid cannot be replaced. Your neighbor is valuable to God. You may not like them because their dog may come over and leave bombs in your yard, but God thinks they're valuable. So reach them with the goodness of God. Take the gospel to the world. We should be living God-directed lives. A self-directed life is a misdirected life. A self-directed life is a worthless life. You can be a Christian and live a worthless life because you're not available to the Lord. Don't do it. Don't take the bait. Satan's trying to trick you into doing it. Don't take the bait. So look what happens. I mean, this is what happens. This is the gratitude they get for doing what they do. Here's what they get for doing what they did. Verse 6, these have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not. We read that. Verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. What? Uh-huh. For 1,260 days, 42 months, 42 months, for this first half of tribulation, they can't be killed, but at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist kills them. Pastor Massarino last night suggested that he thought the battle of Gog and Magog would happen. Oh, it's happening again. Come here. I did not touch anything. It's erasing it. I did not touch the eraser. What was that? So when I touched this, what happened?
There must be some like quick...
Okay, watch me. Don't go anywhere. Stand there. You no more sitting for you. Okay. So, thank you. So here at the midpoint of the tribulation period, he's going to kill them. So the battle of Gog and Magog could happen right about here, because it does say, there's a phrase in the Bible, who is like unto the beast? So it could be that he comes and offers peace after 83% of the combined forces of Russia and Iran and all the forces that are arrayed against Israel die on the mountains of Israel, that he steps up and stands up and says, okay, now what are you doing? Stuff. Okay. He's going to overcome them and kill them. And we're going to have to end there, which I'm bummed about, because there's so much more to tell. God's word is an endless source of goodness. I used to study for like 30 hours for a sermon, and Julie would be like, why are you drilling so deep? There's gold nuggets laying on the surface. Just grab them and go. And she's right. So the reality is this book keeps giving. There's so much, we could never plumb the depths of the truth of this Bible, but it's up to us to try to do our best with it and to learn as much as we possibly can. So we're going to resume there next week. And thank you so much. You want to take that too? Yeah, I can't be trusted with all these tools, apparently. Okay, you can go. Thank you. That's good. Thank you so much. Let's give Pastor Todd a hand. That was good. Thank you for rescuing the service. That was good. When you see a kid, a toddler, running on the road, about to get flattened by a truck, what are you going to do? And it could be that the kid had an attitude and had just told his mom, his last words to his mom before he sprinted out into the lane of traffic was, "No, me do it." Could have been. I mean, it's likely. I mean, if a kid's running out on the road, he probably just pushed back on some authority figure and decided to do it his own way. That's exactly what humanity is doing during the tribulation period. That's exactly what the majority of humanity is doing right now. But you and I are the first level of first responders that are going to help this child. But God's going to double down and send another force, the 144,000, to reach people that haven't responded before the rapture. And he's going to send his two witnesses also. He's sending the good guys. When you dust off potentially Elijah, I mean, you're sending the best, right? He already sent his son. He sent the best already, right? But don't underestimate your role in God's eternal purpose. God wants to use you to rewrite history in the lives of people around you. Don't squander the opportunity when you see a kid running in the road. Don't say, you know what, I saw the preacher behind me in that little green CRV. He'll stop. I'm late. Let's prioritize what God prioritizes. He sends two witnesses because it's another layer of his love. It's another response unit to try to help the kid. Let's be workers together with God who are appropriately awed by the privilege of working together with God to accomplish God's purposes on the planet. It's an amazing privilege. We should be super excited about it. A lot of Christians aren't because they're burning like my little beeswax candles or my wife's stinky chemical smell burn your nostrils candles. We're doing it under our own strength instead of having our wick dipped in the Holy Spirit and doing it under God's power. The only way that the two witnesses can do their job is under God's strength and under his power. The only way you and I can do that is under God's strength and under God's power. Christ died for your sins and rose again. The moment you trust him, he saves you forever. He gives you the free gift of eternal life. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. But he offers it to you and me free. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The moment you trust him, he'll save you forever. Please avoid the tribulation by trusting Christ. You can resist the Holy Spirit now, go into the tribulation, and if you don't get killed first, you would have the opportunity to trust Christ. Why? Because 144,000 are there sharing the gospel with people, so are the two witnesses. But you're setting yourself up for 7 years of avoidable pain that you're probably going to die in, because in the first half of the tribulation, over half the population dies, and the party hasn't even gotten started. Avoid the tribulation. Help your neighbor avoid the tribulation. Be the person in the car that says, "I'm going to stop and help that kid. I don't care who else stops, I'm stopping. I see the rescue opportunity and I'm gonna do what I can." And don't say, because I can't do everything, I can't raise the child till they're 18 and put money in their college fund, since I can't do that, I'm not gonna stop and keep them alive. When God gives you a command, there's two responses, excuses or obedience. Let's be obedient and go reach the kid that's in the road about to die. That's your neighbor, that's the person you work with, That's your cousin. I hope you made a list of people you're praying for that you want to see get saved. Keep it in your Bible. Pray for it often. If you want me to, I'll go with you to visit that person. Let's do whatever we can. Let's rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. God commands it. And it's our privilege to get to do it, not in our own strength, but in his.